Hey guys, and welcome to this week's episode of It's a Definite Maybe, a podcast for those of you who are just trying to figure it all out, with your favorite co-hosts as always, Stella and Rosie. On today's episode, we're cluing you in on what we do for work, outside of podcasting, of course. We'll chat you through what our current jobs are, how we got there, and break down whether you actually need to go to uni to get a job. So Stella, we've been doing this podcast for like a year and a bit. I don't know how to count, honestly. I'm not sure how I got past grade one, but whatever.
I feel like we just hit a year, but like that was in October.
It was in October. That was a little while ago.
Wow.
I know.
Time flies. Time flies.
And I realize we talk about a lot of things. We do get quite personal. And we've done a really good job at opening up, I think, since we started the podcast. But we haven't really spoken about in detail what you and I do outside of the podcast universe. And I thought that would be a great opportunity for our lovely listeners to learn a little bit more about what we do full time, because we definitely don't podcast full time. And I guess how we got there, we can go into a little bit of a, time warp. That's not the right word. Time warp.
What are you trying to say, girl?
Down memory lane?
Yeah, sure. Trip down memory lane.
Anyway, so Stella, what do you do? What's your full-time job?
Yeah, so I currently work as a project manager at a design agency, or a human experience agency, I think. Ooh, is like
that's fancy.
The line. And we do focus on like user experience, human experience stuff, particularly website design. So we have in-house designers and developers, and we put together websites and brand touch points and various different consumer experiences, I guess, for brands.
Fine.
And then deliver them. But it's usually in a digital sense as opposed to like physical touch points or anything like that.
Even I'm learning.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's really funny because there's so much that goes into UX, which for those of you who don't know what that means, it's user experience. There was so much more, I guess, than I ever really thought about, because a lot of it is kind of subconscious thinking, or a lot of it you would think is kind of common sense, but actually putting things into words and being able to justify certain decisions rather than just saying, oh, like, I guess it looks good here, like this button is good here, or yeah, this drop-down menu needs these options. It's like, well, this is the reason why that is the case. And sometimes it is best practice, but other times it's just like there's psychology behind it or whatever. And so it's been really interesting sinking my teeth into the UX side of things, as well as UI, which is user interface design. But mostly UX is what I find really interesting. And just kind of unpacking why things are constructed the way they are and influencing those sorts of things.
Has that like completely ruined your experience when you go to a website now? Do you notice the little things of like, ooh, why is this that color? Why is it curved, not square? Like things like that.
It's funny because when UX design and UI is done really well, like when it's done really, really well, you tend to notice, not so much UX, but UI. Like if something is really clean, easy to use and looks pretty, you're like, ooh, yeah, that's pretty. But where you really notice it is when there's really terrible UX or really terrible UI. Things are clunky. They don't look that great. They don't function well. They're not intuitive. They're not smart. Yeah. All of that sort of stuff. So those are the types of things that I tend to notice more so now because I'm consciously aware of it. Mm-hmm. But I think my threshold for the types of things that I would notice is probably a lot lower, higher. I'm more sensitive to those sorts of things than people who aren't in the industry because they don't necessarily know what to look out for.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things when it comes to UX thinking and decisions that are made when it comes from a psychological perspective.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things to influence a sense of scarcity, for example. Like a lot of the time on e-commerce sites, you'll see this person has just purchased this particular thing, or hurry, only three left. Like the only X number left is a massive psychology hack, I guess, to encourage a sense of urgency to buy that thing, whether there is actually three of that thing left or not, because some systems aren't as sophisticated or don't update in real time enough because of caching and whatever on websites. So it's probably not actually going to be three left, but sometimes it is. So having that sense of scarcity pushes people to buy.
It gets me way too often.
Yeah. So there's a lot of like psychology that goes behind a lot of UX things, particularly when it comes to e-commerce sites. Mm-hmm. But then just generally, I feel like there's a lot that you can do to influence UX that you don't necessarily think about unless you are consciously aware of it and like really properly thinking about it and applying frameworks and theories and all of that sort of stuff. But I find it really interesting. I don't know, maybe I'm just a nerd.
No, it's good because, I mean, you obviously get paid to do that. So I'm glad that you find it interesting. And I'm literally just sitting here thinking, this is so fascinating. Because I do the same thing. Like when I look at social media, I'm like, oh, why would they do that? Why would they write that way? Like, why would they upload this? And that's because I work in social media. And so, you know, I think
which is a perfect segue. What do you do, Rosie?
So I work as a social media strategist, which is essentially doing the thinking and the concepting and planning for a brand for their social media presence. And there's a lot of different kinds of strategy. There's a lot of different kinds of working in social, but that's what I do. And I work at a digital, no, not digital. That's my old job. I work at a creative agency. So essentially the big thing that the agency I work at does is make ads and make the creative, like a big TV ad for Christmas, for example. Mm. And I didn't even realize that strategy was like a job that I wanted to do or a job that you could do until, I guess, until I found the job that I'm in currently. Or maybe like the role before. But when I started working media a couple of years ago, I didn't know it was like a career going through uni. I was just thinking, oh, I want to work in marketing. Turns out working in marketing is very broad.
Yeah.
And I feel like you just, maybe I'm just naive, but I feel like you couldn't really do a bachelor of strategy or even a strategy major. It's almost something that I think most people fall into from a different role because they learn something in one role and then they've, trans something skills, the ones where it can like go from one role and be
transferable applied to a different skills.
Thank you, transferable skills. Good Lord. And I guess from working like in account management and working with clients, I picked up whatever I needed to become a strategist, but it's weird because the role that I'm doing currently, it's really interesting and really pushes me, but I feel like I've almost started again. Mm. I feel like I'm very junior. I know I'm very junior in what I do because it's one of my first strategy roles. So I feel like the first 4 years of my career were just like a waste, which isn't true because it was not a waste, but it feels like I've just had to go to the bottom of the corporate ladder again and start climbing again, which is hard to come to terms with, but good that I think that I've worked out what I want to do now and not in like 15 years time.
Well, it is really funny because you hit on an interesting point when it comes to career stuff in that you didn't necessarily set out to get into strategy because you didn't really know it existed. Yeah. And I feel like that's how a lot of people float through their careers. Mm. They invest time and energy into things that are interesting to them or opportunities that come up or, you know, things that come up along the way that they wouldn't have necessarily set out to do or get involved with. And then they experience that thing and they're like, ooh, I really enjoyed that, or ooh, I'm really good at that. And then things kind of flow on from there, because I was in a similar sort of position to you. At my previous job, it was in a similar sort of space to where my current job is in terms of website design, and there's UX thinking and whatever, except it was microsites, so mini websites basically, as opposed to full brand websites. Mm-hmm. And it was more with a data acquisition focus. So we specifically did competitions and promotions and anything where you would like enter your details to win something or enter your details to get access to something. So those sorts of gateways. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know that competitions and promotions and microsites was an industry and was something that I could get involved in. But I ended up being referred to that job by my personal trainer, who had another client who was looking for someone in their company. So I went and interviewed at that company. However, it wasn't the right fit for me because they were looking for someone who was more into like the analytics and the research side of things, it would be like Excel spreadsheets and reporting and things like that. And it's just not really where my skill set lies. I'm a people person through and through, and there wouldn't be much of that. So they ended up referring me on to these other people who I interviewed with, and that was where I landed in the end. So it's one of those things as well where you kind of have to be open to opportunities and just put yourself out there and like say yes to things, even if it doesn't necessarily seem like it's the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
Be true to yourself, put yourself out there, and people will probably end up connecting you with someone else, or they'll approach you with an opportunity or something like that because you've come to mind, because you've been authentically yourself.
Yeah.
Is that what you found in terms of your career progression and how opportunities have arisen for you, or has it been a bit more intentional?
I feel like it's definitely been more intentional than you.
Interesting.
My first job was almost out of desperation in a weird way. I'd gone through all of the sort of traditional grad role sort of interviews during uni and assessment centres and didn't get any. I then went to Europe after I graduated uni because I thought I was a failure because everyone else got grad jobs. And I was like, screw this. And then I came home and I applied for like 50 jobs, I think, after I got back from 6 weeks in Europe.
Wow.
And maybe it was like 20 before and 30 after. I don't really remember. I remember it being around that 40, 50 mark.
A lot.
Yeah. And I think I'd become fixated on this kind of job industry called account management, which is essentially just client services, client management, people skills, that sort of stuff. But in advertising, I thought, wow, this is interesting. I'd learn about this job trajectory at uni, and that sort of paved the way that I wanted to follow because I thought, yeah, this is for me. And a girl that we had gone to uni with had just started working at News Corp, which is where my first job was, as an account executive. And I thought, okay, that's like the junior grad level role for an account manager. Amazing. So I saw that they were hiring for one. I applied for it, got the job, and I was like, cool. I said yes because I wanted the job. So I guess the desperation to a bit of a stretch, but it was very much like part of just a flurry of job applications I put out. And that was my first job, and I stayed there for 2.5 years. And then I guess how I landed in my next role was a little bit by accident, a little bit intentional. Like I was definitely looking for jobs. I wanted to move into something different. I decided I didn't really want to be an account manager anymore. And so that was the intentional side of things. It wasn't through a personal trainer friend, blah, blah, like yours. But I guess the role itself was it. The job title had strategists in it. And I thought, okay, well, I've been interested about the strategy team at News Corp. Like that's sort of where my interest peaked, I suppose. And got that role and then worked at a digital marketing agency as an account manager slash digital strategist for a year. And then the role after that, which is my current role now, was a little bit by accident. And I think a lot of it came because I was creating content on LinkedIn and I learned through just creating content and having a passion for it. So I wasn't intentionally really looking, but it's just sort of all these things amalgamated. Yeah. And I don't know, just kind of led one thing led to another. And it, you know, I definitely was not qualified enough for probably the job that I'm in, but they took a chance on me. And I think a lot of that came because I just was making TikToks and posting on Instagram, posting on LinkedIn and had a deeper understanding of it.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a random career path, but I found
you were walking the walk.
Yeah. And I think what's really interesting is my mom always says, oh, well, you know, you've got to be in a job for longer than a year. You know, job jumping is bad. And I think, yes, I can see it from her perspective and I get it from like that generation. But I think our generation is very much realized, oh, you don't have to be loyal to a workplace if you're miserable or it's toxic or it's not giving you what you need or there's no further growth opportunities. And so for me, being able to essentially job jump, you know, 2 years in a role, a year in a role, and I've now been in my current role for just over a year, it's normal for us. And I wouldn't be where I was if I didn't essentially job hop. But it's interesting to see the, I don't know, the judgment, not the judgment, but like the weirdness that some generations or some people can have of like, oh, should you be job hopping? Or like, should you stay loyal and, you know, stay at one place for 5, 10, 20 years?
Yeah. Well, it's so interesting, the idea of job hopping, because it's one of those things where it just depends on the workplace and how they tend to view things and the culture and tradition and all of that sort of stuff. Like, I do think gone are the days where people will stay, particularly in our generation, will stay at a job for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, like their entire career. But at the same time, I think if you're in like job after job after job after job after job for like 3 months, 6 months, a couple of months, whatever, that is potentially a pattern of behavior, and that's a little bit concerning. But I think it's one of those things where it's a really fine line between calling it quits at a workplace because it's not the right fit for you and it's toxic culture, it's not the job that was advertised. You know, there's any number of reasons why you would leave a job prior to a year. But also like walking that line between not just kind of throwing in the towel over little things that could be addressed and knowing when to try and figure out a way past things as well. Because any job is going to be challenging for the first 6 months to a year, depending on the job and, you know, your skill set and the types of things that you're doing.
Yeah.
And so it's tricky for me to not stay at somewhere for at least a year. Because from a skills perspective, you're still learning things.
You're still learning, definitely.
A year in. And there's so much to get your teeth sunk into and so much to, I guess, absorb in that first year of being in a particular role. I think you do know pretty quickly if it's just not a good cultural fit or if the job wasn't what was advertised or whatever. Yeah. But I do think at the same time, like, you do need to give things a proper go and, like, let the dust settle, I guess, and get more settled in your current role. But something I found really interesting, and I mean, kind of touched on it before, but there's not really like a right way to find a job and like get into a particular thing. Like, my jobs have all been really organic. Like, the first job I ever had was a hairdresser, and I was like a salon assistant and was shampooing and, you know, booking appointments and cleaning and whatever. I was just kind of helping out around the salon. And I got that because this is a salon that my parents had been going to for years and years and years. So it was like a family connection, and they needed help and I needed a job. So it was one of those things where I think my dad asked if I could get a job there. I don't think I even did it. And he was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I ended up working there for a while. And then I think I worked at a call center for a while doing outbound market research, which was, that could be a whole other podcast episode in and of itself. That was an experience. Yeah, it's definitely not the job for everyone. But for me, being a people person, I think it was probably the perfect job for me. It was super flexible. Totally. Pay was awesome. The people were awesome as well. Like, it was just the perfect job for that time in my life. So highly recommend if you have the stomach for it, but it's also, you have to be super resilient. Like, it definitely has contributed to making me the way that I am in terms of letting certain things roll off my back in particular situations.
Yeah.
But I think I was referred to that by the sibling of one of the team leaders as well. So again, through someone that I knew. And then my previous job before my current one, again, like I said before, was through a referral. And then my current job was through a colleague of mine from my previous job who, hi, Katie, if you're listening,
shout
love
out
you.
To Katie.
So we'd said to each other, we'd made a pact when she was thinking about potentially leaving our old job. We were like, oh, no, but we want to work together forever. We love working together. And we're like, and we kind of jokingly said, oh, well, when you go to your next workplace, you have to take me with you, lol. Kind of not really thinking that that would actually be the case. And then, you know, things happened and she ended up getting this other job and put in a good word for me. And it was around the time when I was thinking of leaving my old job anyway. And so she ended up referring me to this current job.
That's so funny.
It's one of those things where some people find jobs through networking and putting the feelers out there, putting themselves out there and just making it known that they're looking for something and what they're interested in so that people will put in a good word for them or let them know about an opportunity that comes up. And then there is a lot of merit as well to just applying for a lot of stuff that's really interesting and making a connection with whoever the recruiter is or whoever the person is who's interviewing for that role or hiring for that role and just making a really good impression and getting a job that way. So it just kind of depends on your strengths, I guess. Like, I know that networking for a lot of people is a really terrifying prospect.
So scary.
And for even for people, like, it is often a terrifying prospect as well, and can feel kind of, I don't know, like, icky to be selling yourself sometimes. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't feel super organic. It's like, I'm only introducing myself to you because you might be able to help me get to where I need to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Trying not to look at it like that and just making genuine human connections is super helpful. So just, like, it's a bit of a mindset shift as well when it comes to networking and, like, putting yourself out there, putting yourself out of your comfort zone and just kind of being open to seeing what comes in.
I know. And if you're not putting yourself out there, then no one's going to find you.
Mm, exactly. Yeah. And even if it's just, like, putting yourself out there from the perspective of being true to yourself and authentically who you are when you're interviewing for something and applying for a role,
mm-hmm.
so that they get a good understanding of who you are as a person and the type of employee that you would be. Because there are also cases of people where they've applied for a particular role, they didn't get that role, but whoever was hiring really liked them as a person and it just wasn't the right fit for the role. And they've ended up being put forward for another role down the track that's opened up. So even if you don't get a particular role, it's all about relationship building just being authentically yourself and doing the best job that you can. And things will kind of click and fall into place from there as they're supposed to.
Yeah. I couldn't have said it better myself. What's meant to be will be.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think what we can sort of see as well, but even though you and I had very different trajectories, is that going to uni, I think, helped a little bit, but wasn't necessarily the only thing that helped us get to where we are. I think for me, studying was definitely something I don't regret and I needed, but I don't think, I almost think I've learned more since working, at least in different roles, than at uni. But I think uni was a really good foundation and my degrees were a good foundation to help me navigate at least what I didn't like and what I did like, even if it was in, like, just a 5% capacity.
Yeah. And I think this is the thing as well. Like, I think my degree has helped me get the roles that I have gotten from the perspective of, oh, well, you've got a degree, that's great. And, you know, the things that you learned in that degree are pretty relevant to the things that you'll be doing in this job.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think, particularly in marketing or in business and something where it is very, like, people-driven and it's more, I don't want to say soft skills because I hate that term.
Oh, my God.
But, like, the more people and communication, negotiation, like, people skills, general life skills that you have as opposed to specific knowledge about a particular area. Obviously, there are certain industries where you do need a degree in order to be able to get into that profession. Like, I'm not going to be a doctor, for example.
I'm not going to be a lawyer.
Exactly. But particularly in business and in marketing specifically, I think that's one area where you don't necessarily need a degree. Your career path and trajectory might be a little, might look a little bit different than someone who does have a degree, and you might lose out roles to someone who does have a degree. But it doesn't mean that it's going to be impossible to end up where you want to end up.
No.
Just because you don't have a degree. I think it's just you need to be a little bit more open to a path that isn't super cut and dry or isn't super clear and may not necessarily be a straight line. It might take you a little bit longer, but I'm a massive advocate for learning on the job, being a sponge, like really throwing yourself into whatever job you're doing and whatever experience you're having. And you kind of figure things out from there. So if you are also like, oh, I want to get into this particular space, but I don't know if I need to study at uni or whatever, it is entirely possible that you may be able to get to where you want to get to without needing to study. I think it depends, though, because there are certain workplaces where they will value people who do have degrees more highly than people who don't. So even from that perspective, it could be helpful. But then also, is that the type of workplace that you specifically want to work for?
Yeah, and I think being so active on LinkedIn for myself, I'm seeing the shift that a lot more progressive workplaces are now getting rid of the bare minimum of needing a degree, whereas when you and I were looking for jobs, if you didn't have a degree, you would just cut out from pretty much every grad role. So it's great to see a lot more places changing and realizing, cool, some people can't afford to go to uni. Some people don't thrive in an educative environment. I don't even know if that's a word, educative. I don't know. And some people, you know, don't even graduate high school. And it's almost discriminatory for some workplaces to say, hey, you need to be able to afford to go to uni and get the grades and thrive under pressure of doing exams. And that is being removed by so many more modern places, which is really cool to see.
Well, I think what workplaces are realizing more and more now is it's all about mindset and skills and like the attitude that you go into a job with. Definitely the attitude.
That's a big one.
Rather than how many degrees do you have and like how it looks on paper. Because there's people who – this is a whole other conversation in and of itself, but from a university perspective, a lot of the time, like, you're taught to memorize and regurgitate facts. You're not really taught to understand concepts and put things into practice. So I think a lot of workplaces really value people who can demonstrate that they understand how things work in a day-to-day environment rather than just
spit out things and memorize.
Exactly. Spitting out facts and not really understanding the landscape and, you know, maybe going in with a bit of a holier than thou attitude, thinking that they know everything rather than being like, I just want to learn. I want to be a sponge, absorb as much as humanly possible and just try and do the best job that I can. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of companies are looking for people who do have that can-do attitude. And you pick things up as you go along and you learn. And, you know, that is really highly valued over someone who has like 5 degrees in a lot of cases.
Oh, yeah, totally. Unless you're like going into like to be a teacher.
Highly specialized fields or whatever.
Lawyer or a doctor, like, you know, dentist. Anyway, completely
highly specialized fields.
Highly specialized, yes. I'm gonna call it there. I think we're good for today. Basically, you know about our, I was going to say life stories, but not really. You know about our work stories now. Yeah. What we do, and we're, you know, little corporate girlies living the 9-to-5 life, and podcasting is, like Stella likes to call it, a full-time hobby.
Exactly.
So we're basically working 2 full-time jobs. We love that. Thrive.
Woohoo. Time management.
We love having you guys along. Thank you so much for listening. You know the drill. Head over to our socials and we can continue the conversation there. We will drop our email address, all of our at, in the show notes, so you can always keep up to date on everything.
And remember to rate, review, subscribe. I don't know. Can you subscribe? Follow us on whatever podcast medium you're listening to this right now. Share this episode around to a friend. We really appreciate word of mouth. Otherwise, as always, we're excited to take you along with us as we discuss areas of life that might not always have a one-size-fits-all approach on It's a Definite Maybe. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.